This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. As you heard here yesterday, Detroit Month of Design is going forward, in spite of, or perhaps because, of the crises overtaking the city right now, from the pandemic to the eruption of concerns over police use of force. This is a time when we can look to the city's makers for ideas and energy. The Design in the City competition is lifting up a class of professionals working in fashion and related designs, including Therese Clark. She's a true superwoman of skills, designing jewelry, accessories, home decor. She's done work in backgrounds for companies like Foot Locker and Bumble, and is skilled in woodworking and metal fabrication. Clark has an installation called Her Hue that's on view in Detroit through September 30th, and you'll be able to see some of her work at a pop-up and trunk show this weekend. Therese Clark, welcome to Stateside.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Is there a story about sort of what made you a maker and how you started working with your hands?
So I grew up the only child. So my mom would always buy me different craft kits and jewelry kits to keep me busy. So that's really how I got started with things. I always wanted a project. So we would go to the local craft store. I'd pick up a kit, do that, be finished with it probably in that same day. And then I would take apart different things around the house and put them back together.
It sounds like you would have been the perfect kid to have at a time when everyone was stuck at home.
Definitely. We would have had robots that bring you drinks or something if that was the thing back then.
Can you talk a little bit about how the different mediums that you work in, whether it's the woodwork projects that you're exploring right now or some of the other things we've seen you work in the past and fibers or other kinds of construction, how they shape your work?
So I think that all of the different mediums shape my work because it brings different elements to projects. So I like to be well-versed in many things and not just one specific medium. That way, it's just more dynamic. So if a piece is woodworking, I might still incorporate some metalsmithing into it by making the hardware. I might incorporate fibers into it by making signage that may be made out of materials that aren't wood. I just think it makes things more complete and well-rounded.
Is there a process when you're working with something new where you're just sort of like getting to know it and getting to know sort of the physical limitations and what's possible?
Yes. So I recently just started working with more acrylic, and it is not as forgiving as wood is. So if I mess up in wood, I can sand it down. Acrylic, you know, the plastic is harder to sand and to reshape. So I've been trying to start with smaller scale things instead of just hopping into large displays like I normally would with wood. So there's been a little cap on that, but I've been having fun experimenting since nothing is like currently due at the moment. So that pressure isn't there.
You mentioned acrylic. I know that you've done some work with it for the exhibition Her Hue. It's celebrating Black women's hair and trying to do some erasure on the stereotyping and, you know, some of the disrespect that Black women have had to deal with about their hair over the years. Could you tell us a little bit about what you have planned for the installation?
Yes. So the acrylic that I'm using in the installation, I actually use those to create like an aura glow around different women's hair silhouettes. And that was inspired by, honestly, the space that the installation is in. It used to be a hair salon. And the previous tenants, they left these really cool LED circles in the wall where mirrors used to be. And I wanted to make sure that I incorporated every inch of the space in some way and activated it. So it worked out that way. And then on top of the lights, I cut circular acrylic and added some color to it so that it's just not glowing white, so that it glows in different hues from pinks to blues. And then I traced silhouettes of my friends with their hair in puffs or shortcuts, hair braided back, and put that on top of it too, so that image is illuminated.
What was on your mind when you were envisioning what this installation was going to look like?
I wanted to really just bring forth all the beauty that is Black hair. So I just wanted to find a way to incorporate us and put us on display as art.
I feel like this is a topic that a lot of fine artists have been exploring a little bit more in recent years. But I don't really know if it's worked its way into everyday consciousness in the exact way that you're doing. Were there, you know, tactile things or visual things that you definitely wanted to incorporate?
Yeah, so one of the tactile elements is that you're able to touch some of the pieces that are braided sculptures. And that has just been because it's always been an ever-running theme that people want to reach out and touch Black women's hair.
White people. you're being very polite, but I think we mean white people wanting to reach out and touch Black women's hair.
Well, yeah, white people want to reach out and touch Black women's hair because our hair is so versatile. We change it a lot. We might come to work with braids one day and afro the next, and then it's like, oh, how did you grow your hair so long? Like, it's extensions. But there's always a wanting to touch, always some curiosity around our hair. So this way, I'm hoping to satisfy some of those curiosities so that no one asks to actually touch someone's hair that's on their head.
That sounds like almost a risky choice, you know, and it's definitely acknowledging, you know, one of the tropes and one of the things that obviously drives Black women crazy, but also acknowledging that there may be a seed of curiosity in those exchanges.
A lot of it is just being curious. I don't think it's meant to be harmful in any way. Our hair types are different. So you would want to, you know what it feels like. But I just think it is inappropriate to ask a woman to touch her hair or just to reach your hand out without asking.
Obviously.
So I don't want it to like open up a can of worms where you're asking everyone to touch their different textures like it's a petting zoo. But I want this installation to take place of that.
One of the things that feels complicated about it to me is just that, you know, a white woman saying to a Black woman, oh, can I touch your hair? It's different. Even that word different feels like that could be painful in some ways. Were there ways in which you just wanted people to see that variation is the normal?
Yes, I definitely want it to be more normalized, that our versatility is more normalized. Because no one wears their hair the exact same way every single day. You might wear it down, you might wear it in a ponytail. I think that we just put a little more self-expression into our hair. So it's more of our identity as well.
Treece Clark, I wanted to ask you a little bit wider picture about what's been going on with your year. There are a whole lot of makers who've had to keep up a furious pace to make ends meet at a time when maybe they're not able to sell their products in the same way that they used to. Maybe they're not able to conduct classes or take classes in the same way that they have before. How would you say your workflow and your livelihood have been affected by the pandemic?
It's definitely been affected, but I would say in a more positive way. I'm trying to be mindful of my words because I know that there's a lot going on and people are losing their lives. But I have been finding a lot of joy in this time just because this pause has forced me to do things that I've always talked about doing. So I always wanted to do more things online so that things are more accessible. And now we all like have to make that pivot to be very engaged online. So with my work, instead of being more in person, with how I did designer hack classes and the tutorials, I have been able to make more Instagram TV videos for people to watch and share. Even my son and I baking bagels and showing people how we did that. Honestly, in this time, I'm just doing all of the things that I wrote down in my journal years ago that I didn't have the time to do, just revisiting those ideas and picking them up.
If you're just joining us, my guest is artist and designer Treece Clark. She's one of the recipients of this year's Design in the City Competition Awards, part of Detroit Month of Design. I wonder, is there a contrast between what's going on right now and the way your work and your business has been going over the past couple of years? I mean, handmade goods have been a serious part of Detroit's economic revival. How have the past couple of years been treating you?
The past couple of years have treated me very well. I used to vend at probably all of the marketplaces, Eastern Market, different pop-ups through Build, because I am an alumni of Build as well. So I will say I've definitely seen more interest in things being handmade. Instead of people rushing to stores for certain products, they look for local small businesses to create those same things that they will go out and buy just because they want something more unique or custom for them. And I think everyone wants a little handmade in their homes nowadays.
You've done many original designs, but I've also seen some videos that you put out of designer hack work, showing people how to make their own on-trend stuff. What do we get when we wear things that we get to make ourselves?
There's definitely a different sense of pride when you make something yourself. Because when you receive that compliment from a stranger and then you get to say, oh, thanks, I made it at the end, there's just a different light that comes with that.
What's more complicated, making your own designs or figuring out how somebody else made something and showing someone else how to do it?
Honestly, probably making your own designs, because inspiration is definitely all around us. So it's hard not to absorb or consume what's going on around you. So if I'm always head in fashion magazines, I feel like some of that may translate into my own personal work. So I feel like it's easier to recreate some things that I've seen.
Do you notice a difference between what kinds of products are a hit these days versus the kind of things that people were interested in maybe back in January or February?
Definitely. I feel like everyone is into more home decor nowadays since we're spending so much time. Since we're spending so much time in the house, and now we're like, okay, this room is missing a rug. Oh, we're missing a lamp. Okay, this needs something. So definitely home decor. I know that there's definitely been an uptick in those sales and just the videos too. Probably my home decor projects have the most views of anything else.
Can you give us an example?
I made some hand-stamped pillows in a video. So people really took to that because it was a really simple project, a no-sew project. All you needed was a little bit of fabric. We used muslin, cut out a little design to be your stamp. It could be an abstract image, like just a triangle that you are moving different ways to stamp. You paint it, stamp it on the fabric, stuff the pillows with some polyfill and hot glue the edges. Because not everyone has needle and thread, but we can definitely have a $2 hot glue gun lying around the house.
Is there a difference between how you connect with people maybe when you meet them at a physical marketplace and how you connect with them now when maybe you're not even physically seeing them? Maybe your interaction with them is what you show them online.
Yeah, so I feel like I'm initiating conversation, but talking to myself a lot of the time.
It's a different skill.
Yeah. Like I'm talking to myself initially because I'm maybe doing a voiceover on a video. But once people begin to comment back and forth, then we actually get some conversation going. In person, I feel like it's a little tougher, honestly, just because you may not know what their interests are. And how do you just walk up to someone and start talking about, you know, chairs and furniture? But online, they're already following you because they have that interest. So it's a little easier to spark up conversation that way, too.
You know, I'm a little hesitant to ask this question because you put a great deal of work and intention into all the things you make. Because of that, I don't know if your downtime or what revives you is spent making things. You know, I mean, like I've known people who are professional chefs who they don't really want to cook when they get home. But are there things that are reviving you right now? I wondered if those things have anything to do with making stuff.
They definitely have a lot to do with making things, but just in a different light. So more nurturing things. So just taking the time out to cook a meal from scratch is very reviving, because if I had a really busy week and I've been eating terribly, then I definitely want to put some love back into myself and make a really good meal. So that's one of the things that has been reviving me, even making bath bombs with my son too, so that we're doing some self-care that way. I think the process of making is just very therapeutic for me, especially when it's making for yourself and not making with a deadline in mind. So I can just take my times truly in things and do it together, because the memory making process as well is really big with us because it's easy to buy something, but when you buy something, it doesn't have a story with it. If you make it, then you have more of a memory embedded.
When you think about home goods and the kind of things that you want to surround yourself with right now, what comes up?
I definitely want to surround myself with things that make me happy. So I love tactile things, of course. So I like furs and silks. I want to surround myself with unique pieces from other makers. I want to see wall art always on my wall. I don't like plain walls at all. I'm somewhere bordering between being eclectic and being a hoarder because I always find great things that I want to keep or just redo, remake, reupholster. I probably have a basement full of chairs that I found, like outside things. But I always want to surround myself with things that were handmade and unique for sure.
I can't say it's entirely shocking to hear that a seasoned maker like yourself has a lot of projects in progress. Like anyone who knows anybody who sews or does woodwork is just waiting to see that shed or that sewing room all filled up with stuff that just hasn't quite found its project yet.
I revisit things a lot too. So I might not have a plan for it when I first see it, but I know that it's cool enough to, you know, have a purpose later. So if I find like a couch on the side of the road that has a really cool shape, I say, okay, I might not have a plan for it right now, but it's being tossed. So I have to get it now and put it away. And I'll come back to it once I have time or the idea of how I want to do things.
Well, Therese Clark, we want to thank you so much for everything that you've made for Detroit Month of Design. And thanks for talking to us a little bit about your work.
Thank you so much for having me.
Arts and culture coverage on Stateside is supported in part by an award from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs.